A Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media Station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. It's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Chong Snow with a zero. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour. All over the place. Good stuff. Little Astros. Little Vegas talk. Boxing. A little bit of everything. A little weather talk. And someone tweeted me this map that has like the little projection lines. And there's always, you know, there's always like 20 of them. And 19 of them are always kind of close to each other, like within 80 to 100 miles. And there's one guy that has a storm track that's just going off in a completely different direction. It's kind of funny because that's exactly what this is. Like almost all of them have it going through Texas or Louisiana and then up through Arkansas and then taking a right turn and winding up in New York.
Okay.
And then there's one guy.
So not our problem, you're saying?
Yeah. It's not going to hit us. I've already guaranteed it. I will be here at work Wednesday because there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Only been wrong twice. But this one track has it going off like south of Corpus Christi and then into Mexico and eventually El Paso. It's like, how are you that far off from everybody else when you're doing these projections? I'm sure there's some kind of science to it, but I don't know how you know. There's always one like that that's just completely different than everybody else's, and that one never happens. So if you're in Corpus right now, you're incredibly safe. That would be my humble opinion.
That's your Fred Fowler guarantee. You're the weatherman.
Yes. Yes, the weatherman. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take your phone calls. And apparently, according to Yahoo Sports, the Celtics want to flip the number 3 pick for Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I think the Celtics are in a spot where they're pretty close, and if they can trade picks for guys that are going to make them better right now, it makes sense.
Yeah, because you don't know what you're getting in the draft. You really don't.
You know Jimmy Butler's pretty good.
Yeah. 8-2. If anything was possible, who would be your ideal choice for the Astros trade options? Archer, Cole, Quintana, or someone else? Garrett Cole's a guy I would like to see here. I don't know if what the price is going to be for him. And AJ brought up Justin Verlander a couple times, and I that intrigues me, if you're willing to take on that salary. Or why not both?
Well, I told you, I read a report that the Astros are apparently have mutual interest with the A's on a Sonny Gray deal.
Which I wouldn't mind that either. It's another guy I like. I wouldn't mind seeing two arms added here.
Yeah.
Get one of those guys like Gray or Cole who's still young and has some upside and a veteran who you can count on if Keuchel's going to stay hurt. I'd like your chances.
Yep.
So Landon says, basically, the system's very disjointed. If the center moves over or east of us, we won't get much rain. That's pretty much what I thought. So, all right. Not going to happen. We're all safe. We can quit worrying about it.
It's going to be all right.
Yes, it is. Boy, I tell you what, we always talk about how humid it gets here and hot and stuff. But man, when it was 111 Saturday walking around Vegas, even in that dry heat, that was bleeping hot.
Yeah.
So.
It was, I think, when I went for a run on Saturday from.
Yeah, and you went out in the middle of the day.
From our hotel, I ran down to the Whole Foods, which maybe it's like 2 miles.
Right.
Nothing long. But it was 111 degrees.
Yep.
And when I got there, there's a Texas Day Brazil there. And I'm wearing gym shorts and a tank top. And I go out, how strict is your dress code at lunchtime? Oh, just come on in. Sweating like a dog. Although I say sweating like a dog, not as much as I would have been sweating had I done that run here in that heat.
Yeah.
But still sweating. They didn't care. They're like, come on in. And then I Ubered home because yeah. I bought a bunch of beer.
More complicated, storm model projections or O'Brien's playbook? I go with O'Brien's playbook.
That's a Fred question.
Yeah, O'Brien's playbook,
complex for me.
More complicated and about as effective, I would say.
Right about every fifth time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
And Craig said, if you draw a path prediction along the whole coast, you could say you predicted the right path. It's a thought. You could do that. Mott says, not getting political, but if a meteorologist can't get a forecast correct, how can we believe in climate change? Because those things aren't really related. Predicting a storm track is not a science. There's science to it. But, yeah, I don't think those things are at all relatable, frankly. Soccer Bilal says his projections are made by the guy that thought Jar Jar Binks was a good idea. A32 wants to know, is O'Brien's playbook more understandable without Godsey? I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about that whole thing, and we've talked about it a lot. I'd like the idea of bringing an experienced NFL coordinator with success and maybe in a different system that could, you know, O'Brien, it could still be O'Brien's system, but you get a second set of eyes on it. You get some new ideas. And you let that guy do his job. But if O'Brien is basically going to focus on play calling and hopefully we'll do a good job at it, and that's kind of why Romeo Crennel's now promoted. So we'll see. I hate the idea less than I did when it happened because I thought they were in a position to, hey, let's go get somebody and really upgrade there. And maybe this is how they do it. I've come around on it because there's nothing I can do about it. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I just got my email. Tell us about your stay at the Luxor.
Yeah. So, like as I was sitting on the plane getting ready to take off to go home yesterday, I got an email, which I get like once a month or maybe once every 2 weeks from the MGM.
Yeah.
Saying, Vegas is calling your name. I'm like, no, I was here. I just wasn't at your hotel for once.
Yeah. I get a lot from the Venetian, too.
Yeah.
So it's about basically between MGM and Venetian, I get one every week saying, you need to get back to Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I really don't. Been there.
We're there enough.
Yeah, I'm ready for a little break, though. This is whenever we go twice in the span of a month or so. I'm always ready to.
Yeah.
And plus, I've been traveling so much, and I'm flying out Saturday to go to Canada again. So I haven't added them up, but at least over the last 3 months, I know I've taken at least two trips a month. Yeesh. Which is getting, it gets old.
It's excessive.
Yeah. And I wasn't going to go on this trip. I was just going to let the wife go on her own and stay home. But we're a little behind with our project that we're going to be launching here. So I actually have time to go, but I'm only going for a week this time, not doing the 2 week thing. But yeah, I didn't realize when we booked it that it's this Saturday, so I'm gonna be gone off flying again next weekend, which I don't mind. I mean, I love traveling, it's fun, but man, when you do a bunch of it, it gets old. And I know there's a lot of people that travel a hell of a lot more than we do that are just sitting there going, that's nothing, fly out every weekend.
Yep.
But when you're not used to it.
Yeah, well, there was a time I was flying a lot more than this back in the newspaper days, and I enjoyed it back then. I guess because I'm old now, it's just such a pain in the ass to deal with stuff. And well, I'm usually, you know, cramped on a flight. Like whenever we do the HBO flights, it's just we're always in the back of the plane. We're always cramped. People are reclining on us.
But we almost always have an aisle seat now.
Yeah, they have fixed that. We always have the aisle seat. It's not so bad. Like, we're doing that WestJet to Calgary, and then, you know, that's awesome because we get first class on that, and it's a great experience, so I don't mind that. But it still winds up being a 12-hour travel day,
right,
to get there, because, you know, it's like 4 hours to Calgary. It's only an hour to Saskatoon, but then it's like a 3-hour drive to their farm, and that takes up a whole day. And yeah, you do two of those on the back end. You do that on the back end, too. It just turns into a pain in the ass to get there. People want to know, what beers did you pick up in Vegas?
I picked up a couple Toolbox Sours. I picked up some Ale Apothecary. I picked up some, what else did I bring home? Oh, some Logsdon Farm stuff and a Firestone Walker Sour. Mostly sour. All sour, in fact. So,
you like them sours, man.
I do.
Yeah, this was the hardest thing for me, not drinking beer this trip. But a lot of the places that we go, their beer selection's not what it was.
Like, no.
Much as I love Burger Bar, their
beer selection has gone downhill.
It has, which made it easier for me to not drink a beer while I was there. But
they had Dogfish Head 120 on tap, but it was $20 a glass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you ain't going to drink too much of that. But the pizza place next door to it has a better selection now than Burger Bar does.
Yeah, it does. It does. They had a nice...
It's like, I think it's called a Slice of Vegas. Oh, that reminds me. I meant to tell you this story. So, what day did we eat there? Friday?
Yeah, I think it was Friday.
So, we eat dinner at this Slice of... I think it's a Slice of Vegas. It might be just called Slice. But we eat there on Friday after the show. And I eat 3 pieces of pizza and bring the rest of my pizza home, back to my room with me. I eat about half a slice, and then I realize I'm not going to eat the rest of this thing. So I just set it on the floor outside my room. That was the night that in my head I had said, I'm not going to go out and do anything. We're just going to chill, because I was super hungover that day.
Yeah.
But, of course, we eventually got out anyway.
Yeah, I got a nap in and changed my mind. Yeah. Ready to go.
So, I leave my room at, like, I don't know, 10-something, and or maybe 9-something. That pizza box is still there. So, I pick it up, and I'm going to take it to the trash can in the elevator lobby. Well, the trash can in the elevator lobby, the hole isn't big enough to fit this pizza box. But at the Luxor, there's these long tables in every elevator lobby with a mirror on them.
Yeah.
And so I just set the box there, no big deal. So I get home, or I get back to the room that night, and the pizza box is still there. I'm like, oh, they must not be in any rush. I come back down Saturday morning for the 9 a.m. tournament.
Yeah.
And the pizza box is still there. It's open. And all that's left is the crust of one piece of pizza. So someone found 2.5 pieces of pizza on a table in the elevator lobby.
Oh.
And said, yeah, I'll do that.
It was the EDM guys.
And that, I mean, it was sometime between like 2 a.m. and 8 a.m.
That makes perfect sense. You know that, right?
I guess so. But it's still pretty gross.
It is. I can't imagine just finding a pizza box somewhere.
Especially because one of the pieces of pizza had a bite taken out of it. You know, that to me is automatic. Nope, I'm out on that.
Well, but you think about all the bad decisions people make in Vegas. That's a fairly small one. Fairly small one considering.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Tri Eagle Energy. Listen, these guys, they're doing things the right way. You know, they are trying to make, not only are they trying to save you money on your energy bills because it's summertime, those things are getting high, but they're also just trying to make your home run more efficiently, make it more of a smart home. Tri Eagle Energy is a born and raised Texas company. They care about helping you decrease your energy usage, and they've got tons of ways to do it. And right now they've got the Smart Energy 36 plan that comes with an all-new Ecobee 4 with built-in Amazon Alexa voice service, so it listens and talks back. The current rates for that plan, 8.6 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. It's a very competitive rate. Plus, you're locking it in for 36 months. The rate's only good till the end of the month. If you're in the Houston area, Triangle Energy will come out and install that thermostat for absolutely free. The benefits of that thing, you could save up to 23% on your heating and cooling costs. Jeez, people calling me in the middle of a live read. Give me a break, guys. You've got something that you can run it from your phone. It's really unbelievable. Use the promo code ESPN at TriangleEnergy.com or over the phone, 877-93-EAGLE. And it's PUCT number 10064. That's TriangleEnergy.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I think it was Swan that sent me this earlier, but we have a list of the Texas cities that spent the most money on booze.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would think it'd be like, is it per capita or?
No, it's just total sales. So
Houston, Dallas.
It should be that way.
Austin, that would seem to be the.
And those are the three. But keep in mind, these sales numbers are from the first quarter this year. We had a pretty big event in town that I'm sure contributed.
That probably helped.
But here are your numbers. Out of Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Fort Worth. Fort Worth was the least drunk of all of them. Also probably one of the smaller ones. But $48,764,900 in alcohol sales.
Okay.
$48 million. Next on the list, San Antonio, with its population of 1.4 million, $106,000 in sales.
Okay. A lot of margaritas.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always events there, too. At number three on the list, with $134 million, Dallas, your favorite city in the state.
Mm, yeah.
Number two on the list, well, your real favorite city, Austin, $141. And at number one, the great city of Houston, $233
million. Wow.
Yeah. So $70 million more, or more than $70 million more than the number two guys. So I think the Super Bowl certainly helped, but I have to say it's nice to say Houston's number one at something.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, and
I mean, we are the biggest city.
Right, so we should win this, right?
Yeah.
And
it'd be really pathetic if we didn't, to be honest.
If Fort Worth were to suddenly have more alcohol sales in Houston, that would be a problem.
Yeah, that would be humiliating.
Yeah, but I'm very proud to have contributed to this. I would say if $233 million, I've contributed a pretty good chunk to that.
You've done your fair share.
I've done my best to make Houston number one.
That's right.
So congratulations. Way to go, everybody. Just shows that we're a bunch of degenerates. Man, I wanted to kind of throw this out there a little bit because we talked about it some last week. But I wonder if... Yeah, I know the poker boom is gone, but I wonder if we're starting to see a regression to the old days.
Like where it's underground?
Yeah, because they're starting to have rooms close out there now, which I get it, but this is WSOP week, or month, I guess. But in the past, when I've been out there, you couldn't get a seat at a cash game anywhere at
right.
night because guys would bust out of the tournament, they go right over and play cash, or they play other tournaments. And it was just, I don't want to say it was dead, but I think we're kind of getting back to that whole thing of the only people playing are pros and, you know, occasional tourists.
Yeah.
That I think we've lost that whole generation of online players that kind of gone away. And I noticed the same thing with the race books. There weren't a lot of people in the, like there was one night I was there. I think I was playing Canterbury or someplace like that. I was the only guy in the entire race book. And I think that was maybe Thursday night.
Yeah.
And it was very strange. And I wonder if you know, as far as Vegas is concerned, if those things are going to go away at some point, because I mean, you're not making much money off your poker room if you're, you've got two tables full.
Well, and you saw, I mean, the Luxor's gotten rid of their poker room.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to put there in its place, but it's gone.
And to be fair, it wasn't a great poker room, and it's right there in the middle of two other places that are easy to get to.
And have better poker rooms.
That have better poker rooms, but still, there was one of those. And there were a couple of tournaments that were full at Excalibur. The one Saturday was 40-something people, I think.
Yeah.
That was a good one. That's the one you won, right?
One of the ones I won.
Yeah. I don't know what the... I just... A lot of times there was nobody there. The cash game was usually one table.
I need it to, whatever happened, I need it to stay how it was because we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want it to change.
Just keep rolling
this,
the way it's
this
rolling.
This weekend was just fine, but yeah. Oh, Joe brought up another good point. Rodeo Houston's in quarter one, too.
Ah, yep.
You throw Rodeo, Super Bowl. Yeah. Mac Daddy says, with Pearland approving liquor licenses left and right, I think Houston may lose that number one spot. Not unless Pearland grows by about 2 million people.
Yeah.
That's significant. Just as the online poker ban has a lot to do with it, that's my guess. I agree. And I think that has affected things, but it's just every time I go, it seems like it's easy. Like even Saturday night / Sunday morning when I decided to go get in a cash game at Mandalay, and no wait. I can't tell you the last time that happened where I'd go to a place and just walk straight up and get a spot and not have to wait on at a fairly busy time of the night. And there were three tables going and none of them were full. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also, playoffs for Texans and Rockets, but Rockets would not have been in the first quarter. They would have been second quarter, but
yeah.
Texans playoffs, yeah, there was that. So, there's a lot of, there's a lot of factors to that, but I still would think even if you take all those out, Houston would be number one. Like, Austin has stuff, too. And that's why they're probably ahead of Dallas. Maybe Dallas needs to drink more. Maybe that's their problem.
That could, it probably would help.
Yeah.
See, it helps everything, right?
I think so, but that's just me. See, the Titans added Eric Decker.
Yeah. That's a team where it makes sense to have a guy like him because all the receivers they have are like young guys. There's no real veteran leadership there. Maybe that's a guy that, I mean, that's a guy that could help them out. I don't think he was a good fit here. I know that a lot of people were saying they should look at him, but I think it's a better fit in a place like Tennessee.
Yeah, and they need weapons. They really do. And I think that's a guy who could help. And I like that signing for Tennessee. Tennessee's done a lot of good things. I still don't like their coach. But, you know, I do like the moves they made.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We got a lot to get to still, so.
Yes, you know what else we got to get to? Raising Cane's. Because let's say you wanted to have some chicken fingers tonight, because chicken fingers are delicious. You wouldn't want to have some crummy chicken fingers. You would want the best quality chicken fingers. Well, good news. Now you can get those at Raising Cane's. That's the only thing they're serving at Raising Cane's. They're not serving junk. Only fresh, never frozen chicken fingers. The premium cuts, the premium chicken breast tenderloins, marinated at least 24 hours, then freshly hand-dipped and hand-breaded in their signature specially seasoned flour, cooked fresh when you order, hot, fast, and as fresh as possible. They'll never sacrifice quality for speed. They've got all the great sides, the crinkle-cut French fries, the Texas toast with the garlic butter blend, and cooked on the flat-top grill. It's just awesome. The fresh squeezed lemonade, and of course the tangy, somewhat spicy cane sauce. It's just a perfect mix, handmade daily in their stores. There's so many reasons to love Raising Cane's. 25 locations in the Houston area. Stop by the one nearest you today and have yourself some Raising Cane's. It's Raising Cane's. One love.
The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Frankie from Humble says, I want to see you guys at Mint Poker. What day are you going to be there? Can you give me a shout-out? It's my birthday. There's your shout-out. I don't know when we're going to be back down there. It'll be soon. I'd hope to get down there next week, but then last minute we decided to go out of town, so I don't know when it's going to be. Are you a fan of Shark Week?
I don't care about Shark Week.
I don't either.
I don't like sharks, so
it's not my thing. I've never figured out why they make such a big deal out of Shark Week. It's just one of those things that they hype up and people pay attention to, but there are people that love Shark Week. I figure if I want to watch anything on sharks anytime during the year, there's a show on somewhere. I don't have to wait for Shark Week. But I am kind of interested in this. I'd be more interested if they did it a little different. I don't know how they're going to structure it. But you see that Michael Phelps is going to race a great white shark?
No.
I think this could be really cool if...
if it's done, like, live in the ocean?
Live in the ocean.
Yeah.
And you give Phelps a little bit of a head start, but you cut his leg so that there's blood. And he's swimming away from the shark. And and he has to get to a certain point before the shark eats his legs. That would be pretty cool.
I think the fair thing to do would be have the shark in like some sort of a staging area, like a bull. When a rodeo, what would you call that? A chute.
A chute, yeah.
Have the shark in a chute. And when Phelps jumps into the water, you open the chute. You have, of course, one of those lane dividers, not like the rope with the little buoys on it.
Yeah.
And just let them race.
See that.
And, I mean, the shark wants to win the race. He's not going to risk disqualification by going under the rope and biting Michael Phelps.
I don't know. He might want to eat more than he wants to win the race.
I mean, I think we're talking about a competitive great white shark here. He's probably going to want – that W is probably going to mean a lot to him.
But if he eats Michael Phelps' legs, he's going to win the race.
But that's a disqualification because he went into the wrong lane.
Who's going to tell him he's disqualified? You? You're going to walk up to that shark and say, hey, buddy, you're disqualified.
Well, he's not going to get a medal. I can tell you that much.
He would just eat the medal.
Hmm.
Apparently, according to this website, sharks cruise at around 5 miles an hour, but great whites can reach north of 25 miles per hour if they're in attack mode.
Okay.
So their swimming speed is 10 times
faster. How long?
Well, yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. How long is this race going to be? How's it going to be set up? So the swimming speed is 10 times faster than the typical human swimmer, which, of course, Phelps is a little different than typical.
He's pretty good.
Apparently, he was clocked at 6 miles per hour by ESPN. So this is the big thing. It's Phelps versus the shark. I'll take the shark, and I'll make the shark minus 600.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be kind of cool to see if he were trying to get away from him. But if you put him in a chute, I don't know. Do you need a water rodeo clown to help protect him like they do with bulls?
Yeah.
Let's give that fella a hand because that's the only reward he's going to get tonight. And, of course, his hand is gone because he got eaten by the shark. And that's Michael Phelps. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Trevor says Bob Arum was on Mike and Mike this morning. He's not too racist, and he had some great stories.
That's too bad.
I guess he was on probably that's where he announced the Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, 409's got it right. After the swimming match is the Foster versus Wolf match.
Oh, I would pay for that on pay-per-view, honestly.
I would, too. Yep. Fournette says, I think Fred is seriously underestimating the competitive nature of the shark.
That
means something. Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be awesome if there was a chance of Phelps getting eaten by the shark. Otherwise, I don't care. So, this is one probably. Yeah, Joshua says, the shark can just win the race and go back and eat him in celebration.
That's true. That might be the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. AK asks, is there any way you think the Cavs can pull in Butler or George without losing one of their big three?
I don't.
And would love fit with the Rockets.
I mean, would Love fit with the Rockets? Sure. Will the Rockets be any better, really, because they've got Kevin Love? Or be, well, I shouldn't say any better. Will they be any closer to the Spurs or Golden State? I would say no. Is that fair?
Yeah. J. Mark asked, more likely market to get an NBA team, if possible, Vegas or Seattle for expansion or relocation. I do think they're going to redo Key Arena.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So if they do that,
usually they like to give to people that have lost.
Yeah.
And
I think there's a real problem. I mean, I like Vegas a lot, and I think it's going to be a good spot for the Raiders. I think it'll be a good spot for the Golden Knights. But I think the more teams you start putting in there, I think it starts getting – I don't know that it's big enough to support
it's
all
like,
of that.
I think it's sort of like Nashville. It's a tourist town. I mean, you could support a couple, you know, a couple teams. And the NFL team, I mean, I think you'll have local hardcores enough there to fill that stadium all the time anyway. But I would bet that the hockey team is going to get by a lot, especially because they're playing right there on the strip. They're going to get by a lot of tickets will be to people who are in town and want to see a hockey game for the first time or something.
Well, and you think about how many people go to Vegas in the winter from up north anyway. Yeah.
But you can't
go to visit and they'll plan their trip around their team's game there.
Like, let's not start thinking that Las Vegas is Los Angeles now,
right?
Or New York City. It just can't. It can't support that many teams.
No, and I think it would be, now they've got a great arena there for the NBA, but I just think it would, you really start putting yourself in a position where, especially if you're T-Mobile, if you're booking that many dates, are you going to make a profit off of both those teams? I just don't know. So I think it would almost be competing with themselves a little bit, because they still have, you know, they still have those big shows there and everything else. I think you start adding basketball dates on top of it, and you're certainly not going to build another arena there. Oh, here's a good one from 936. More absurd. Shark versus Phelps, Foster versus Wolf, or Mayweather versus McGregor.
What, biggest mismatch?
Well, more absurd, he says, but yeah.
I'm going to go Shark Phelps is still the biggest.
Okay. 713, do you think any team...
Wolf Foster is the closest. Like,
yeah.
That's the one that has the most realistic chance of the underdog winning.
Yeah, although I still don't see it happening.
No, it's still a pretty long shot.
Do you think any teams will even entertain the idea of hiring Colin Kaepernick after his recent comments? I don't think they were entertaining the idea to begin with. I don't think the recent comments affect things that much.
I don't think it helps, but I don't think Colin Kaepernick was getting a job anyway.
No.
And mostly it boils down to this. And I think Colin Kaepernick is better than the other backup quarterbacks in the NFL? Yes, absolutely, 100%. The problem is nobody wants a backup quarterback with baggage or drama surrounding them. That's the last thing you want. You know, and someone asked me, Kaepernick's got to be better than Brandon Whedon, right? Why wouldn't Kaepernick be the third quarterback here? Well, why would you want a third quarterback that there's drama attached to? I mean, you just don't. And that would be my reason for not wanting him. I'm sure there are NFL owners who have other reasons for not wanting him, more nefarious reasons. But at this point, you can't blame them for not wanting him, because he's not going to be a starting quarterback. And if that's your backup, you don't want a backup that's going to be getting that much attention, that's going to cause that much drama. It'd be like, how come somebody doesn't give John Football another chance in the NFL? It's not worth it. I mean, however good he is, and Colin Kaepernick's better than Johnny Football, but I think most people believe that Colin Kaepernick at this point is probably at best a backup quarterback. And if that's the case, it's just not worth the excess nonsense that comes with it.
If I were him, and hey, I don't blame him for being mad over that verdict.
Yeah, I'm mad over it. A lot of people are.
Yeah, I think if you're holding that kind of stuff against him, then that's to be fair, most of these NFL owners who have the final say in this are really rich white guys that don't identify with any of his opinions.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. There's no question. But I still think he would wind up with a job if you get a Teddy Bridgewater situation like last year, where if a team needed an emergency starting quarterback, they wouldn't bring him in as a backup. But if you were desperate, like let's say Ryan Tannehill gets hurt in Miami.
Yeah.
Then maybe that's a guy you bring in. If you don't, although they like Matt Moore quite a bit, but if you don't have a viable backup. They still have Matt Moore?
I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
If you desperately need a quarterback because of an injury that you need to start, then, yeah, you do that. Yeah, they still have Matt Moore. But do you really want to go a whole season with Matt Moore?
Probably not.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break.
He's a backup quarterback. Everybody likes to think that he's just going to fill in.
Yeah. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store. And download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device. The all-new ESPN975.com. A couple things before we get to the gym of the day. Albert, who has been a long-time listener, says, you send a shout-out for my friend Blake Sadler. It's his birthday. Blake Sadler, it's his birthday today. Both of us are long-time listeners. Okay, that's done. And then Lamont was asking, and this is something that you can answer, is Houston the craft capital of Texas in terms of volume of breweries? I mean, our brewery game has gotten really strong here in the last few years.
Volume of breweries, maybe. Maybe so.
I mean, Austin...
I still think Austin is I mean...
I think more...
The Oscar Blues, they put that big facility there.
Yeah.
And then I think they've got... Well, I mean, St. Arnold and Carbach sell more than damn near anybody else in the state, if not everybody else in the state. But I think you know what? You know who's going to be here next segment? Eric Warner. We can ask him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's a perfect guy to ask.
He'll know.
So there you go. All right, let us do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I was all set to go with something else, but a texter said, Fred, you need to check out the newest sex scandal teacher on Barstool. So I did, and I just think this is a good place for this. A Fayette County school employee is charged with rape in the third degree after Lexington police said she had sex with a former student. Her name is Lindsay Bonta Jarvis. She's charged with one count of rape in the third degree, one count of sodomy, third degree, and one count of unlawful transaction with a minor.
Transaction?
Transaction.
Does she get paid?
Well, I don't know, but there's some sodomy involved in this. According to her arrest citation, police said the victim was less than 16 years old.
Mm.
Now, is that illegal in Kentucky?
I would think so.
Okay. All right. But the victim told police, again, the victim telling police, victim, he had sexual intercourse with Jarvis. And the report goes on to say that the victim's cell phone had correspondence that suggested the victim and suspect were in a romantic relationship. And, of course, she's married.
Always the worst. I feel so bad for the husband of a teacher who sleeps with like a 15-year-old student.
Yeah.
It's like, how small do you have to feel?
Hey, it's one thing, okay, if your wife hooks up with some actor, athlete, or something like that, or just some hot guy you can, you know, that's her own age. Not that you can live with it, but it's like, okay, I get it. But when they're banging 15-year-olds, who wants that?
Yeah, that's not great.
But she is a paraeducator at Veterans Park Elementary.
Yeah. Well, oh, at an elementary school?
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
But I hope, it doesn't say how young, right?
It says under 16. So,
but if we're talking an elementary school, it could be...
Yeah, well, that's where she teaches, and it's a former student, so I'm assuming he got out of elementary school.
Okay, so he's all grown up.
And he's 14 or 15.
Okay.
That's still too young.
Yeah.
She is, though, on the hot teacher scale, not as hot as last week's, which I still think is the hottest one I've seen, but not bad at all.
My second grade teacher was pretty hot, and then so was my fifth grade teacher. But, no, not fifth grade. Fifth grade was gross. Sixth grade was pretty hot. I never got back into that, though.
We had a hot gym
teacher.
I did
see her once, like when I was in high school, but she didn't feign any interest in having sex with me. So I just let it go.
I had a harder time getting girls my own age interested in me back then. So, but we did have a...
I didn't discriminate back then. In high school, if you showed any interest in having sex with me, I was down.
I think it was junior high. We had a really hot gym teacher when I was in junior high. Can't remember her name. I think she was like Miss DeRoe.
Miss DeRoe?
DeRoe was her last name.
I thought you said
so
Mr.
I'm guessing, Rowe. I'm guessing like, wow, by now.
You were so progressive back then.
I'm guessing by now she's like 65 or something.
Huh.
So the fantasy wouldn't quite.
I mean, hey, she's still in your age range. And you get a nice, sweet Social Security check once she passes.
There's that. It's a possibility. Brian asking, just curious if you got your Golden Knights gear while you were out there. I did get a Golden Knights hat. I bought a lot more crap than usual while I was there, and I got the wife a Golden Knights shirt. Got a new Leafs hat, and I got a new sort of cowboy type hat.
I know. That hat is something.
It is something.
I don't know what to call it. It's not a cowboy
hat. It's not a cowboy hat, and it's not a fedora. It's sort of like if those two had sex, this would be their kid.
It looks almost like a... you're going to take me out and show me around the Outback.
A little bit. Maybe it has some of that in it. But I don't know. I just saw it and liked it, so I bought it.
Yeah.
I do stuff like that.
And you wore it to play poker in.
I did.
And I think it intimidated some people at the table.
I don't know if it intimidated them, but...
You should have talked in an Aussie accent.
Yeah, the problem is there's always like a real Australian at our table whenever we do stuff like that. Hey, there's some dude from New Zealand that we were playing with that had the baddest ass white guy dreads I've ever seen, I think. And he was still stoned from the show before, the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you at that table with that guy?
Oh, yeah. He was at the final table with me, I want to say like the Saturday morning tournament.
Mm.
Nice fella.
Yeah, he was. There were actually, that was one thing I liked is that we there were a couple of a-holes. But for the most part, there were a lot of fun people
that
we played poker with this week.
Most of the people there were decent. There were a couple guys I wanted to punch in the face. But
well, and I knocked one of those out that you wanted to punch, which was fun.
Yeah, there was no
sick call.
I didn't end up punching any faces, though, and that's always the best. John, do I really have a Carbock read right now?
You sure do.
Oh, this is so great. We turn Eric's mic on. This is going to be a dual read. Since I'm sitting here with the brewmaster out at Carbock, and on my read notes it says use a personal endorsement or story in all lives. So what I like to do now that's the summer months, and I like to tell people about all the great beers you guys have out that are great to drink when it's really hot outside. What's your particular favorite, Eric?
Well, we've got a brand new one here, AJ, the Goza, the KRND Goza, which we're going to be trying after the top.
Boy.
Yeah. But I drink the staycation a lot. Whole leaf hopped for extra flavor.
All right.
Yeah, not messing around. German, American hops, you name it. Weekend Warrior, though, that's a good standby.
That is a good one.
You know, it's like it's not as strong as an IPA, so if it's whatever, it's like 98 degrees out now.
Yeah.
Perfect beer. So those are my three I'd go to this summer.
What do you got going now, though, for Fred? Because Fred likes to drink stouts. He doesn't care what time of year it is. He wants a stout or a porter or something heavy. What's something maybe that he could drink now?
Oh,
just out of luck.
He might be toast. Yeah, man.
You might have to go by the brew house and pick up a like. I'm sure at the bar right now, you guys have BBH on tap.
Yeah, you can always come by the restaurant. You know, yeah. And we got the barley wine coming out in 2 weeks. I'm in next week. We're not going to quite have that, but the show after that, we'll sip on some barley wine.
That'll get it done. Guys, whatever you're into, whatever your taste, they've got something for everyone. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or tell your bartender to make it a Carbach. We'll be right back and have a conversation with Eric on the other side. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.